It's very nice to see you. And the Lord be with you. A few notices today. First of all, you'll have heard in the news about COVID regulations changing. So over the course of the next few weeks, if there are changes for us, and there will be changes for us in church, we'll let you know in good time. But for today, if we just ask for business as usual, we wear masks when we're singing and masks when we're coming and going. But if when you're sitting down, you want to take your masks off and have a wee breather, absolutely fine. You will have had a chance to look at the notices as we've been coming in. I'll draw a couple to your attention. The Ladies Open Door Friendship Group are meeting this Wednesday at 2 p.m. and they're having a flower arranging demonstration by Joanne Henderson, which I think would be very interesting. Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. we've got Select Vestry on the 22nd. And I'm sorry to let you know that Des McIntyre passed away earlier on this week. And this coming week there will be a commemoration, a celebration of his life. And that will be held here at 9:30 on Wednesday and it will be live streamed. One further thing, annual registration of vestry persons. If you're over 18 and you contribute to the church funds, and if you wish to be registered as a member, please get a form from one of our wardens at the back, or you can fill in a form online. So thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. Let's begin our act of worship. Our opening hymn is Morning Has Broken. We begin our worship with the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and say those wonderful words of the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works, and your likeness in all your children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is written in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ. According to Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's stay standing for a moment and declare the truths we hold to with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We'll sing together in a moment, and as we sing, I'm going to ask children and young people who are going to Sunday school to brave the weather and run or swim or something over to Sunday school. So good luck to you. Our worship song is Name of All Majesty.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you that you are our guide, you are our teacher. Help us look to you this day and forevermore. Amen. Please take a seat. So, I've been thinking about today's passage, and when the time came to actually sit down and type up what I'd been thinking and what I'd been praying about, I was sitting in our old house down on Reed Street, and a carpenter was working in the hallway just behind me, just hammering away while I was typing. And he was amazing. He had the whole thing planned out in his head before he had even started, and then when he arrived, he double-checked his plans. And he quickly anticipated any issues were going to come up. It's an old house, a house that Jack built, and there were issues, and he pointed them out. He anticipated them. And his understanding of the overall picture was, I thought, interesting. I thought it was amazing. He was a skilled worker. He knew his tools. He knew the nooks and crannies of the house. He knew what he needed to do. And you could see that he pictured what it was and what it was going to be looking like when it finished, before we'd even started. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He prayed before choosing the disciples. He prayed during that time when his popularity was rising, and he prayed before he went to the cross. Hours in conversation with his Father, speaking about the day to come. Give us this day our daily bread, he taught his disciples to pray. Father, whatever is about to happen, it's in your hands. And every day Jesus' own ministry would have compounded and reinforced for him that knowledge that everything was in God's hands. The real world was in the hands of the continuous Creator. Every time Jesus saw people respond to his words, every time he healed those beautiful acts of recreation, every time he set out on a day, he knew he was working within the will of his Father, and all was well in his soul. He had an understanding of the big picture, and he knew that in reality, in the hands of God, the day was resolved before it had even started. In the hands of the Creator, in the hands of that craftsman, he knew it was all done before it had begun. And today we read of Jesus with his disciples out on the lake. He had a plan for the day. With purpose, he had said, "Come, let us go across to the other side of the lake." He knew that he was needed there on the other side. He knew he had a place to go. And he rested on the way. This isn't the first time or only time we hear of Jesus resting. In John chapter 4, we read of Jesus having walked a long way with his disciples. And we read of him being tired. He sat and rested. It was there that he met the woman at the well. On that occasion, his disciples decided they needed food, so they went shopping. Jesus knew he needed a rest. And here on the boat, he knew that there were sailors with him. He wasn't going to be sailing the boat. This was a time for him to rest. He slept. Now, while he slept, there was a storm lifted by the winds coming down from the surrounding mountains and hills. His friends, the disciples, became afraid and then terrified, and they woke him. "Wake up, Master, we're all going to die." Jesus wakes, and there seems to be little hiding his frame of mind. He seems cross. If you've ever been woken by a child in the middle of the night, the first time it happens, we're all sweetness and light. We're all, "Oh, sweetheart, yes, I'll come, I'll tuck you in, I'll check under your bed for any monsters." And the tenth time it happens, that same night, it's more like, "You better wish those monsters get you before I have to come and see you." Now, I don't think Jesus was ever like that or ever mean, but he gets up and he tells the wind off. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, "Where's your faith?" We're doing a job here. We're crossing from A to B. We've got somewhere to be. So there's a storm on the way. Is a storm going to upset God's plan? We're needed on the other side of the lake. And the next day, the next verse says that they sailed on, they reached their destination, which they were never not going to get to. And they met the one on the other side that needed the Lord's help. And God's day continued. That day that had been resolved even before it started. Jesus spent hours in conversation with his Father, the creator of all. His daily lived experience told him that if God wanted him to get across to the other side of the lake, God would get him to the other side of the lake. His understanding of the big picture, his prayerful anticipation of the day meant that he knew the journey was completed even before it had begun. Now, me, myself, I'm a rookie. I'm the idiot disciple. I'm the one that says, but what if? And I know that God has everything in hand. But sometimes I think he would benefit from my input, just in case he'd forgotten one or two things. You know how it is. And I say, Lord, it's a very busy day. We'll never get it all done. And I'm learning to hear God as he reminds me, no, this is the day that I have made. Yes, it's a busy day, but where's your faith? Trust me. And do you know what? We'll even work in time to walk the dog with the kids and have a nice break. Now, recognizing that every day belongs to God does not mean that every day is plain sailing. Jesus spent time regularly praying, speaking about what was to come with his Father. One of these occasions was in a garden called Gethsemane. He knew that as he prayed, that moment, there were men with sticks on their way to him. He and his disciples had all seen crucifixions before. The Romans used to crucify people very regularly. There are accounts of highways into major towns and cities just being, we have street lamps, they would have just put crosses up with one or more naked people on each cross as a warning. We're the Romans, this is what we do. And Jesus prayed, and he knew that his day was in God's hands, but it was going to be tougher than a storm at sea. And what was to come even caused Jesus to cry. Father, he prayed, if you're willing, take the suffering away from me, but not my will, but yours be done. By the time his prayers were finished, by the time the thugs arrived, for they were thugs, he knew based on his experience, based on his relationship with his Father, that the terrible day was already resolved. His journey was to the other side of the cross, the other side of the grave, and there would be a storm. But he had people to save on the other side. People needed him on the other side of that journey. And it was all in God's hands. I, as I say, am the idiot disciple, and I don't have the strength that Jesus has, and I never will, really. I don't want to have the strength that Jesus has. That's for him. But he says, you have little faith. Just let me be the faithful one. Jesus is ever faithful. Jesus says all we need is to get in the boat with him and trust him and give our days into the will of the Father who has the day resolved before it's even begun. There may be a day when we wake up and we say to the Lord, Lord, the one I love has to go to hospital today, and I don't know how the day is going to end. And the Lord says, today's resolved before it's even begun. Let's go to the other side of the lake. There may be a day when we wake up and in prayer to the Lord we say, I'm not sure how I'm going to put food on the table today and heat the house at the same time. And the Lord says, today is resolved before it even begins. Let's go to the other side of the lake. There may be a day when we wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, I don't know if I can stand another day being treated the way I am in my place of work. And again, the Lord says, today is resolved before it's even begun. Journey with me. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Now, what if we get up and we resolve ourselves to live outside the will of the Father? Heavenly Father, help me to do my job today. I have a busy day helping my business profit off the backs of vulnerable people. I'm sure nobody actually says that out loud, but it happens. If that is us, then God will ask us to face facts. He will say to us, stop being the storm. Stop being the men and women with sticks and give your day over into the will of God. A disciple I know who is stronger than I had to go to a court. She had to go to a court to defend her daughter. Her daughter had been hurt. Her daughter had been damaged. And the government body who was responsible for that damage sent a barrister, a lawyer, officials, and representatives and arrayed them on the other side of the table in front of this single disciple. How did you do it? She was asked. How did you face that? Knowing you were going into that. And her response was, and always is, it's God's job. All I do is turn up. All God asks us to do is get into the boat and trust him. He's the faithful one. We will all have good days and hard days, but they're resolved before they begin. Jesus is faithful and we're in God's hands. This morning when we woke up, Jesus said to us, let's go across to the other side of the lake. Let's journey from A to B. And when we make that journey, we're in the hands of that master. And for the 59th time, that master who has resolved the day before it's even begun. All we need to do is get into the boat and lay ourselves into his hands. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your faithfulness is something that we will never truly grasp, certainly on this side of eternity. Your faithfulness to the mission that God called you to. Your faithfulness and love that you must have had to get through that day of crucifixion. And that faithfulness that you still have, that love that will never let us go. Lord Jesus, there are people here who are having bad days, good days, the worst days, the best days. Be with us, come to us as you take us from A to B, from waking to sleeping. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for each living person in the world with us, in the parish with us, with all the needs, emotions, and experiences. We pray that we may recognize one another as brothers and sisters, sharing the same Heavenly Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for greater reverence for God's creation in the way we use and manage resources and wildlife. We pray for greater reverence for God's creation, the way we use and abuse other human beings, people in other countries, simply because we want to exert power. We continue to give to you the Ukraine, the people who live there, the people who make decisions there, and the most vulnerable there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of us in the ship of the church, that whenever storms rock the boat and appear to threaten us, we may trust you, Lord, to bring us safely through. We pray for the children in our parish and in our congregation. We pray for all those in hospitals near us who will be giving birth today. We long for the world that they enter to be welcoming and full of God's practical love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have chronic illness and have to live in constant pain or discomfort. We ask for God's comfort and reassurance to support them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have died, and we thank God for the example of lives well lived and for the witness of their families. Please take special care of the McIntyre family just now as they go through a sad, sad time. Please give them your healing and give healing to all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we pray together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord always be with you. We stand together and we sing that beautiful hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. There might be a technical hitch, but that's okay. What we'll do is we'll take a moment of quiet and we'll continue with our communion service. Why don't you have a seat and take a wee moment quiet? Thank you. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took wine. You gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now, and may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Just to remind you, during this time of COVID, although things are changing, we're going to continue taking communion in our seats and we will come to you. God, our Creator, by your gift, the tree of life was set at the heart of the earthly paradise and the bread of life at the heart of your church. May we who have been nourished at your table on earth be transformed by the glory of the Saviour's cross and enjoy the delights of eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray together. Almighty God, with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.